Ramayana Balakanda, Part 9. And thereafter, the caravan entered Mithila. Upon arriving at the sacrificial arena of King Janaka, Lord Ram was pleased to see that thousands of Brahmanas had assembled from all parts of the world. Hearing of Vishvamitra's arrival, Maharaj Janaka hurriedly went to greet him. O best of saintly persons, this sacrifice will take 12 days to complete, with the demigods appearing personally to accept their shares of the offerings. My dear sir, please tell me who these two exalted personalities are that have accompanied you. For indeed, they appear to be like gods in human form. O King, these two young men are Ram and Lakshman, and they are the sons of King Dasharatha. They have come here to examine the great bowl which you have been worshipping. I have brought them from Ayodhya to my ashram in order to kill Rakshasas that were disturbing my sacrifice. And on the way, they killed the she-demon Taataka. And then, at Siddha Ashram, Ram hurled Maricha 100 yojanas into the sea, and he also killed Subahu. Before arriving at Mithila, Ram freed Ahulya from her husband's curse and received the worship of Gautama Rishi. Later, when everyone was comfortably seated, Shatananda, the chief priest of Janaka and the eldest son of Gautama Rishi, requested Vishvamitra to recount in detail the story of how his mother Ahulya had regained her original form just at the sight of Lord Ram. The Rishi then happily related the entire incident, and thereafter Shatananda reciprocated by narrating the glorious history of Vishvamitra. Vishvamitra was born as the son of Gadi, and he formerly ruled his kingdom as a righteous Kshatriya. Once, taking an Akshauhini of soldiers with him, Vishvamitra began to travel over the earth, and in due course of time, he came upon the hermitage of the great Brahmarshi Vasistha. Entering that beautiful hermitage, which was inhabited by many sages, Vishvamitra respectfully bowed before Vasistha. The Rishi received Vishvamitra cordially, and the two became engaged in friendly conversation. Vasistha then said, O my dear King Vishvamitra, please remain here for a few days as my guest, so that I may entertain you in a manner befitting your position. O sage Vasistha, I am already fully satisfied with your kind reception. I ask only for your permission to leave. However, Vasistha repeatedly insisted that Vishvamitra and his men remain. Finally, Vishvamitra relented. This being settled, Vasistha brought his Kamadhenu cow, which was named Subala, before Vishvamitra, and thus ordered her to produce a sumptuous royal feast. Being so commanded, the celestial cow immediately brought forth a huge quantity of seemingly unlimited varieties of food and drink, all arranged on sparkling silver platters. Vishvamitra and his men then feasted to their full satisfaction. However, before long, Vishvamitra began to feel envious of Vasistha, wishing he had the celestial cow for himself. And as the pangs of greed surfaced, Vishvamitra told Vasistha, Oh, I must have this wonderful cow of yours at all costs. Please give her to me, and I will reward you appropriately. Vishvamitra offered the sage hundreds of thousands of cows, gold, unlimited jewels, and more. Regardless, The sister refused to give up his celestial cow. Oh, my dear king, I am very sorry, but I shall never be able to part with this Kamadhenu, even in exchange for 1 billion cows. This wish-fulfilling cow is inseparable from me, for I do indeed need her to supply all the ingredients for my sacrificial performances. Oh, Vasistha, this cow should rightfully belong to me, for the king is meant to possess the very best of everything. Vasistha's refusal only fanned the flames of Vishvamitra's desire, and so the king proceeded to offer the sage more and more. But regardless, Vasistha refused to part with his Kamadhenu. Finally, out of frustration and anger, Vishvamitra grabbed the cow and began dragging her out of Vasistha's ashram. At this, the Kamadhenu cried out pitifully, imploring Vasistha, "Oh, Rishi, why are you allowing me to be taken away like this? Although I have served you faithfully, are you now going to desert me?" Sabala then freed herself from the hundreds of men assisting Vishvamitra in dragging her away. And as she fled back to the ashram, Vasistha replied, "Oh, my dear Sabala, I am certainly not abandoning you. However, my power is not equal to the king's, so I am helpless to rescue you. Oh, dear Rishi, the king's material strength is insignificant in comparison to your spiritual strength. So if you allow me to do so, I will utilize your superior energy to vanquish Vishvamitra's army myself." When Vasistha gave consent, Sabala proceeded to create innumerable fierce warriors from her body that began to consume Vishvamitra's army. However, the powerful king destroyed all of them. Moreover, his Kshatriya spirit bristling, Vishvamitra challenged Sabala to create more soldiers if she desired to continue fighting. Sabala then proceeded to produce more fiercer warriors that sprang from her udders, genitals, anus, and other parts of her body. These superior soldiers completely vanquished Vishvamitra's army. Seeing this, Vishvamitra's 100 sons angrily rushed towards Vasistha, but the Brahmarshi reduced them to a mere pile of ashes simply by uttering a mighty roar. Thus, having lost not only his entire army, but his sons as well, Vishvamitra departed, pale and dejected. Vishvamitra then ordered his only remaining son to rule the kingdom and retired to the forest in order to perform austerities, hoping to please Lord Shiva. And after some time, Lord Shiva became satisfied with Vishvamitra's austerities and appeared before the king to reward him. The delighted Vishvamitra expressed his desire to possess the knowledge of all celestial weapons. Lord Shiva is known as Ashutosha because he is easily pleased, and so he awarded Vishvamitra his desired benediction. Thus, Vishvamitra, who was already too proud, became exceedingly puffed up after receiving the celestial weapons, thinking now that his prowess was invincible. Vishvamitra then went directly to the ashram of Vasistha and began showering down his weapons so fiercely that it appeared the ashram was on the verge of annihilation. All the sages residing there began to flee in terror, despite Vasistha's assurances. Indeed, within a short time, the entire area appeared desolate. Picking up his Brahminical rod, Vasistha addressed Vishvamitra, "Because of your rash act of aggression, I shall now cut down your false pride and show you the futility of your so-called prowess." Vasistha held out his Brahminical rod and neutralized all of Vishvamitra's weapons. Vishvamitra then resorted to hurling his remaining celestial weapons. But when this too failed, Vishvamitra prepared to release the ultimate weapon, the Brahmastra. And from above, the demigods witnessed the spectacular duel. When Vishvamitra invoked the terrible Brahmastra, they became wonderstruck and fearful. However, after Vishvamitra released his Brahmastra, Vasistha countered it by assuming an awesome form of gigantic proportions, with flames blazing forth from every pore of his body and thus neutralizing the energy of the Brahmastra. The tremendous form exhibited by Vasistha stunned everyone who witnessed it. Indeed, after seeing the Rishi's great prowess, the sages began to offer Vasistha prayers. With the Brahmastra weapon countered, Vasistha again assumed his normal form. And in the meantime, Vishvamitra desisted from battle and departed, condemning the meager power of Kshatriyas. Now understanding Brahminical power to be superior, Vishvamitra became determined to become a Brahmarshi like Vasistha. He then went into seclusion with his wife and began to execute severe penances. After 1,000 years, Lord Brahma himself appeared before Vishvamitra and formally conferred upon him the status of Rajarshi as a reward. However, as Lord Brahma departed, Vishvamitra hung his head in shame over the meagerness of his achievement. Remaining determined to achieve the status of Brahmarshi and nothing less, Vishvamitra again resumed his severe austerities. And during this same time, there was a king in the line of Ikshvaku named Trishanku, who ruled from his capital, Ayodhya. Desiring to perform a sacrifice that would enable him to ascend to heaven in his selfsame human body, he requested Vasistha to become his priest. Vasistha, however, refused, claiming it would be impossible to perform such a sacrifice. So afterward, Trishanku approached Vasistha's 100 sons, who were engaged in performing sacrifices, and asked them to assist him in the performance of his sacrifice. However, when they learned of their father's refusal, they angrily chastised him for attempting to solicit their help after being turned down by his guru. And after hearing their criticism, Trishanku replied, "So, if you are not willing to help me, I will seek the assistance of others more magnanimous." And upon hearing Trishanku's impudent statement, the rishis became furious, cursing Trishanku to become a chandala. Soon thereafter, Trishanku's golden complexion turned blackish. His garments became old and soiled. His long, lustrous hair began to fall out. His cosmetics turned to ashes. His gold ornaments turned to iron. And his garland transformed into flowers from a crematorium. When Trishanku's ministers witnessed this transformation, they immediately abandoned him as untouchable. Having thus become a chandala, bereft of his former position, Trishanku went to see Vishvamitra, who was then engaged in performing austerities. Vishvamitra welcomed Trishanku with compassion, hearing from him how he had been cursed by the sons of Vasistha. And when Trishanku begged Vishvamitra for help, the rishi assured him of shelter, promising to provide him with priests that would assist him in the performance of his sacrifice. Thereafter, Vishvamitra ordered his sons to petition all the priests and qualified brahmanas to assist him, asking also for the names of those who refused. Thus, many brahmanas from kingdoms across the earth came to his ashram. Only Vasistha and his sons and the rishi Mahadai refused to participate, saying, "What brahmana or demigod would be willing to accept an offering from the hands of a kshatriya? What to speak of a chandala?" And when Vishvamitra heard these harsh and insulting words, he immediately uttered the following curse: "May those wretched sons of Vasistha be reduced to ashes and sent to the abode of Yamaraj this very day. And thereafter, let them take 700 births as chandalas, and may that fool Mahadaya become a nashada hunter." The curses quickly took effect, and Vishvamitra was able to perceive the results by dint of his mystic vision. Vishvamitra then requested the brahmanas present to perform Trishanku's sacrifice. Simply out of fear of being cursed, they complied and started the sacrifice. When Vishvamitra invited the demigods to attend and accept their share of the offerings, they desisted. This made Vishvamitra very angry, and so he declared to Trishanku that he would elevate him to heaven by his own prowess. Indeed, as soon as Vishvamitra made his vow, Trishanku began rising to heaven in his self-same body. But when King Indra saw Trishanku approaching heaven without having earned sufficient pious merit, and after having disobeyed his guru Vasistha, Indra forced Trishanku to fall headfirst back towards the earth. While thus falling, Trishanku called out helplessly to Vishvamitra to rescue him. Vishvamitra not only stopped Trishanku's fall, but also created a replica planetary system, complete with imitation demigods, for Trishanku to reside in. However, the demigods were most outraged by this wonderful feat. Approaching Vishvamitra, they said, "Give up your efforts to help Trishanku. He lacks the necessary qualifications for residing in the heavenly planets." But Vishvamitra insisted on keeping his promise, and so he declared, "I will never go back on my promise to send Trishanku to the heavenly planets without a change of his body. Therefore, let it be ordained that my newly created heaven be accepted by you and remain for the duration of the universe." So in the end, the demigods relented, and thus Trishanku remained head downwards in space. And by the mercy of Vishvamitra, he enjoys heavenly bliss while shining brightly among the stars. Vishvamitra then returned to executing austerities, determined to become a brahmarshi like Vasistha. Then, after a long time had passed, a beautiful apsara named Menaka came to bathe at the Pushkar Lake, where Vishvamitra was conducting his austerities. Upon seeing her, Vishvamitra became overwhelmed by lust. Eager to enjoy sex, Vishvamitra begged her to remain with him at his ashram. Menaka happily consented, and thus they passed 10 years together, enjoying each other while lost to the pleasures of sensual enjoyment. But finally, Vishvamitra came to his senses and felt disgust. He thus thought to himself, "I have foolishly wasted 10 years, merged in the so-called enjoyment of sense gratification. Now I can understand that Menaka was sent here by the demigods simply to steal away my accumulated ascetic merits. By becoming a slave to lust, I have neglected my austerities, and thus I have fallen down from my exalted position." Vishvamitra then dismissed the fearful Menaka and then went to the northern side of the Himalayas, determined to remain celibate from then on. When Vishvamitra again resumed his austerities, the demigods grew increasingly fearful and approached Lord Brahma, begging him to award Vishvamitra the status of Maharshi. Lord Brahma agreed, but when he appeared before Vishvamitra, Vishvamitra replied that he would not be satisfied with anything less than the status of Brahmarshi. Thus, Lord Brahma explained, "You have not fully controlled your senses. Therefore, you will have to practice more austerities before achieving your desired goal." So after Lord Brahma departed, Vishvamitra resumed his austerities, standing with arms upraised and subsisting on air alone for 1,000 years. Thus Indra and the other demigods again became fearful and devised yet another plan to thwart Vishvamitra. Indra then requested the lovely Apsara named Rambha to allure Vishvamitra away from his practice of austerities. Rambha, trembling with fear, declined, saying that she feared Vishvamitra's curse. However, Indra assured her, "Oh dear girl, please do not be afraid, for you shall surely succeed. It is springtime, and Cupid shall accompany you, and I shall also go, disguised as a sweet singing cuckoo bird. So do not worry, your beauty is irresistible. Vishvamitra will become but a toy in your hands." Rambha finally agreed, and thereafter she appeared before Vishvamitra in a most pleasing manner, displaying her various feminine allurements. At first, Vishvamitra was pleased to see her, thinking she had come out of her own accord. However, after a moment's consideration, Vishvamitra realized that her appearance was simply another trick to thwart him from his practice. Flaring up with anger, Vishvamitra roared, "You foolish woman! You knew I was performing austerities for the purpose of controlling my senses, and still you dare to persist trying to seduce me? For this you will have to stand as a stone statue for 10,000 years, or until the Rishi Vasistha delivers you." Immediately, Rambha was turned into stone, while Indra and Cupid fearfully fled from the scene. However, after cursing the Apsara, Vishvamitra became morose, realizing that he had once again fallen victim to uncontrolled anger, thus diminishing his accumulated stock of ascetic merit. Vishvamitra then vowed to never again become angry. "I will not breathe, nor utter a word, or eat a morsel of food or drink until I have achieved the status of Brahmarshi." Vishvamitra then resumed his austerities. However, after fasting for 1,000 years, he decided to eat something. And just as Vishvamitra was about to take his first bite, King Indra appeared before him in the dress of a Brahmana and begged for all of his food. Without remorse or anger, Vishvamitra humbly gave away all that he had planned to eat to the Brahmana and then went back to performing his austerities for another 1,000 years. Vishvamitra's powerful austerities thus began to heat up the entire universe, and smoke began to emanate from his head. Feeling great distress, the demigods again approached Lord Brahma in order to appease Vishvamitra. At that time, Lord Brahma, along with various demigods, went to Vishvamitra and awarded him the status of Brahmarshi just to persuade him to desist from his severe austerities. Finally, Vishvamitra became very satisfied at heart. However, he further insisted, "But it is not enough for you to award me the status of Brahmarshi. I must also be accepted as such by the other Brahmarshis, especially Vasistha." And thus, at the request of the demigods, Vasistha went to Vishvamitra and agreed to recognize him as a Brahmarshi. And in turn, Vishvamitra also offered great respects to Vasistha. Now, at last, their long-standing enmity was soon forgotten, and they became friends.